Okay, tonight we're picking up on part, this is part 14 actually of the Wisdom of Solomon. And last week I got into this, we're talking about the wise father's instruction. And this is from verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, you know, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." And this is kind of this chapter's foundation scripture. And obviously this is most likely Solomon referring to himself as a father and, you know, having sat at the feet of David, his father, and learning from him. Amen. And so the things that he brings us, I mean, this is how important God considers it, that he made it scripture. Amen. This is the things that he shares with us and tells us that are wise, that are the instructions of a father, okay, that are wise. And, you know, one of the things that I think we could learn from this is the fact that the father has a responsibility to give instruction. And, you know, obviously the moms, you know, you give instruction as well, but you know, at the same time, as fathers, when we, you know, do the part of musar, which is the word for instruction there, that chastising, it's more of a reproving to convince, you know, to show that somebody's in the wrong, to warn, to instruct, and so on. I think that one of the things that as men that we are really capable of doing in a really powerful way is teaching our children restraint. Amen. Teaching them restraint. And that means that we as fathers need to exhibit that restraint as well. Amen. And women, you are, it's the same for you, but I'm actually going at this from the standpoint of what Solomon's talking about here in Proverbs. Okay. So there is, you know, you listen to the instruction of your mother, you listen to the instruction of your father, and he certainly brings up the moms, you know, throughout the book. And at the end of Proverbs, he specifically talks about, you know, you women as being the honor that belongs to you for being good mothers and homemakers and, you know, people that run the house, amen, that take care of things at home. And I'm not proposing one way or another or something or other. I'm just kind of laying it out there and let you guys deal with it. But we started talking about this and we covered the fact that you know, that he gives instruction, exhorts his children to know understanding so that they may live. This is the importance of that. Amen. I remember when my kids were younger, you know, some of the things that I would tell them was, look, if you want to avoid seriously, you know, problems, these are some things that you need to do. One of them I taught them and even my son and my daughter come back to me and say, I remember this. You know, I learned from that, you know, to pay attention as to what's going on around me. You know, pay attention to that because your life could depend on it. Always be aware of what's going on. Watch what people are doing because the two things happen during that process. One is they expose who they really are. And two, you can pick up on something that's, you know, not good coming your way if you're paying attention. A lot of people aren't. And so as a result, you know, things happen and they're just, it catches them completely off guard and they don't, you know, they just end up bearing the brunt of it. Amen. And I'm not talking about violence per se or anything like that. It's just paying attention to what, you know, people are doing around you and how they're, you know, engaging you and other people as well. There's a lot more I could say to that. I'm not going to get into it though for now. I mean, I'll come back and maybe share some of it later on. But he gets into that. He gives instruction and exhorts his children to know understanding so they may live. It goes on to say that he gives his children the wisdom he has, but exhorts them to get more. Wisdom will promote you and deliver you. All right? So keep that in mind, that if you go after wisdom, there's direct benefits that come to you from that, from going after that wisdom, going after more, expounding on what you've learned. There's things that I've been taught that now I go back and I'm expounding on those things. I'm expanding what I understand and what I know and the wisdom that I carry. Amen? Then third thing that we talked about already was that the wise father promises your steps will not be hindered, nor will you stumble if you listen. If you listen, you know, and this is where he talks about, he goes, hear my son and receive my sayings and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now, this is actually part of tonight's message. This is the beginning of it. This is part of part 14 here. So the wise father promises your steps will not be hindered. And this is, again, let's come back to verse 10 here. It says, hear my son and receive my sayings. Now, this is the exhortation. And you see that wisdom constantly exhorts us to pay attention to what it's saying to us. Amen. Because it's easy. I'm going to tell you something. We have this running joke amongst us. We actually got it from that movie it was very adult in the way it you know what the theme of it, but it was called Up, and it was about this old guy who sets his house, disconnects it from the foundation, puts balloons on it, and he starts traveling the world, and this young little kid gets stuck in the house with him. So they end up traveling together. Amen. And I don't know why I brought that up. Oh, but there was this one point where they had this one dog, and this dog, every time, you know, something would get his attention, it was like, ooh, shiny, that kind of a thing, you know, where it's like all of a sudden, squirrel, you know, and it's like his attention would be completely diverted and lost. And you know, that's us. That's us in a great way. We are easily distracted. I'm telling you, myself included, we are easily distracted. And it takes, you know, this constant set of mind where you pull yourself back on track as quick as you can. Okay. When you start getting distracted by things that you ought not get distracted by. And the fact that, you know, God keeps telling us this should let us know that, you know what, it's okay. Not okay that we get distracted, but it's okay that we get distracted sometimes, because that's the nature of the flesh, the duality of that's inside of us, that love, that knowledge of good and evil, that love for God, and you know, still that desire to go after the flesh, because our bodies are dead because of sin. And we've just got to learn to say no. We've got to learn to get our, and it's not that easy, but the way we become empowered to say no is when our focus our mental focus is more on God and on His Word. You know, when you spend more time in the Word and you start running after wisdom and going after wisdom for your life, you know, guess what? I mean, it decreases the other things that you could be, you know, your mind could be running off about, okay? So just understand that. Now, so he says, hear my son and receive my sayings. And of course, the word hear then, again, is that word shama, and it means to hear intelligently. Often with implication of attention and obedience. So he's never just saying, listen, just hear my words. He's saying, pay attention. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. Get it so that you can take advantage of it. And then he goes on to say, receive my sayings. So whatever wisdom is telling us, whatever God is telling us through wisdom, and sometimes wisdom comes through people, when all of a sudden you hear him say something, you go, oh my gosh, that's a piece of wisdom. You know, it's funny, sometimes God will use people that don't even realize that they're, you know, that they're saying something really wise. They may be saying something really wise and not even get it for themselves. It's just at that moment, their brain clicks and puts it in that place. So where they put those pieces of information together, and that wisdom comes through. Amen. And what you learn to do, and I've learned to do, is that you hear it, you receive it, you file it away. This is mine. I heard that. I'm taking that. Amen. So you receive it. You take hold of it. That word receive is the word lakash, and it means to take. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to take, to get, lay hold of, to seize, and receive. So in other words, there's an active aggression on our part to hold on to the things that wisdom is telling us. Amen. That father wisdom, you know, that wisdom of the father is telling us. Amen. And then, of course, the promise of it is that, and the years of your life will be many. And the years of your life, when you receive the sayings of wisdom, the years of your life will be many. And I like that word many, because that word many, this is what's really cool about that word many. It's the word rabbah in Hebrew. It's rabbah in Hebrew. And it literally means to increase. So what it's saying there is that the years of your life will increase. You know, and in parentheses, it says in whatever respect. In other words, you know, time, quality, could be all kinds of things. Amen. Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to be or become numerous. The years of your life will be numerous, or will become numerous. And the reason I like this word, the usage of this word here, it doesn't just mean a lot. It means that it increases. In other words, the moment you start taking hold of wisdom, people, your life expectancy starts increasing. Now, I want you to grab that, because some of you, you know, you're looking at yourselves and you might be a little bit older and you're wondering, man, what have I done? And, you know, you're struggling with things and you're going through stuff. And, you know, when you start grabbing a hold of the word, you start grabbing a hold of the wisdom of God from the word. As you start getting that wisdom, it starts increasing your life and specifically the years of your life, because that's what it's saying here. It's saying, and the years of your life will be many. All right. The years of your life will be many. They will increase. So it's never too late to get started. Amen. And so verse 11 goes on to say, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. And this is that father of wisdom. And I really believe, like I shared with you this last week, this was a revelation God gave me about this whole book, was right out of here, was that, you know, Solomon's coming to us as a father. He talks about wisdom as a her, and he refers to that in a few minutes here. But he talks about himself as a father bringing wisdom to his sons, those that are hungry for wisdom like he was. And that's the thing, is that, you know, somebody who just reads Proverbs, they're not going to get the wisdom out of it. They're not going to get it. If you just read it a couple of times, you know, a couple of things might pop out, but you're not going to get the wisdom out of it. The people that are going to get the wisdom out of it are going to be the children of wisdom, the children of Solomon, those that hunger after wisdom more than anything else. And you've got to understand that they hunger after wisdom more than anything else. And when you start hungering after that wisdom and you start going after that wisdom, then guess what? The things that he says to you as a father are going to start making sense. They're going to start coming together, and you're going to begin to understand how to put them to work in your life, how to put it to work in your life. You know, it's funny, because Joshua 1:8 says, you know, that this book of the law shall not depart from you. From your mouth, that you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. May observe to do. And see, it's not good enough to just to look at it and observe to understand it. Understanding is only the beginning. Amen. Understanding is just the start. I'm going to have to share this with you. God kind of gave me something a little bit earlier, and I wrote it down, and I'm not really going to give it all to you right now, but you know, some of you should take pieces of scripture that God has spoken to you, that you know really belong to you. Things that, you know, that they instruct you. They're not just promises, but they instruct you. And in that instruction, there's that promise that God has given to you. And in giving it to you, you lay hold of that promise and you go, this is for me. God's given this to me. But usually within those promises, there are things that it tells us that we have to do or be in order for that promise to be enacted. Now, for sure, all the promises of God, you can't walk in the promises of God without faith. It takes faith to walk in the promises of God. And none of the promises of God are ever going to be available just because you're a good person and you're doing good, you know, you're doing good and you think that makes you righteous. It doesn't work like that. Amen. And so God only, man, it's all by faith, people. And so when we start going after the promises by faith, going after the promises by faith implies that we're going to go after the requirements of those promises as well. We're not just going to go after, God, give me this promise, fulfill this promise to me. No, if there's something tied to that promise that we need to pay attention to, then that promise will come to us. I mean, that'll begin to manifest in our lives. And some of what God shared with me, and I'll give you this much of it, is you need to start thinking about those scriptures. You need to meditate on those scriptures. You need to think about them to understand what's being said there to you. And then also, how can you put it to work? What is it requiring of you? And then in the sense of what it's requiring, how can you apply that? How can you get that working in your life so you make that full promise effective for you? Amen. Because you got to understand, all the promises of God are expressions of his covenant with us, his covenant with man, not just with all man, but with those who are his people. God made covenant with his people. He didn't make covenant with the world. The only real covenant he made with the world was that he was not going to destroy it again by water. So those of you that think that, you know, we're going to end up looking like water world, you know, because of global warming, that's not true. God promises that in the word, that that he will not destroy man again by water. And so that's not going to happen. But what you need to do, you need to get a hold of the promise and then begin to walk in all the requirements of that. How do I put that to work? And there's requirements for every promise. Even if God just makes a promise to you, there are still things that you need to do in order to walk in that promise. All right, and I'll get into that more some other time, but the key is put it to work. How do you put that promise to work in your life? Amen. There's elements of faith, and then there's elements of change and growth on your part within you in order to make that promise viable to you. All right, so going on, Proverbs 4:11 says, I have taught you, and that word taught there literally is the word jirah, and it means to point out as if by aiming the finger, to teach, to point out. So he's taught you, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. In the way of wisdom. And the word for way there is that word derek again. It's a road is trodden. And it means figuratively a course of life or mode of action. So think of it this way, that wisdom, the way of wisdom is always the course of life of wisdom, or it's how wisdom acts, how wisdom behaves, how it conducts itself. So all the teaching of wisdom is going to lead us into how we ought to behave, how we ought to conduct ourselves, what our course of life should be, how it should be governed. Amen? That's the way of wisdom. And see, the Father here is teaching us in the way of wisdom. And then he goes on to say, and of course the word wisdom there is the word chokmah. And I want to get into this for a second before I go on. But that word chokmah literally just means wisdom. This is right out of Strong's. It just means wisdom in a good sense. Now, I looked up the word wisdom in the dictionary, and wisdom means the, and one of the meanings that I got, and this one I really liked, it's the ability, wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. The ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. In English, that's the fundamental meaning of wisdom. How to make good decisions and judgment. That a wise person has good judgment. A wise person makes good decisions. They have good judgment. They make good decisions. And you're using your knowledge. You're using what you have learned, both in gaining that knowledge and then also, and also experience does play into it. Because I'll tell you something, the more I live and walk in faith, the more I'm learning from the word. I gain my knowledge from the word on faith is starting to change in the sense that it's starting to apply all these things that I would have never seen when I first started learning about faith. It is as I got experience in walking in faith, I began to discover some things and understand some things more effectively. And I do that. I mean, there's some very, it's funny because I would try to teach it some of the things that I've learned to you, but they're so simple in the sense that if you don't understand the value of that information and walking in wisdom, they won't mean anything to you. But for somebody who's been walking in wisdom and who all of a sudden runs across this mild adjustment that they make that'll make their faith more effective, oh my gosh, it's powerful. But you almost have to go through this process of growth in order for you to be able to utilize those finer points of wisdom. But that's what wisdom is. It's to help you develop, you know, good judgment, you know, good, make good decisions, and so on. Amen. And so that's what wisdom is. And I want you to really get a hold of that, is that wisdom is good judgment. It's good judgment. And you got to have good judgment in order to make good decisions. I think that's really, really important. And wisdom gives you that ability to see things on a level of consequences, to see things on the level of value, see things on the level of where they fit and what they look like and what's important, what's not important, things that, and when you walk in wisdom, there's a lot of things, a lot of times, it's funny because as I've gotten older and stuff, I've had people say some pretty mean things to me. And when you at first you want to get your pride pricked and you get all mad and you kind of puff up and get upset and everything. But as I've gotten older and I started really gaining that good judgment from wisdom, I've started realizing it ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. You know, and especially if it's people around you that you love. I mean, it's even more not worth it. It's because, you know what? God loves us. And he takes good care of us. And you know, even when I mess up and say something stupid, God takes care of me. And so, you know, the more I go along, the more I realize that I just don't let things like that get to me. Now, we all still deal with it, you know, because things will catch you off guard. That's the only time I have to really catch myself is if I'm caught off guard. But the thing is that the more you practice that good judgment, the more you practice making good decisions, the more your wisdom expands and you start having a greater perspective of things that really helps you know how to navigate life in a more effective manner. That's what we want to do. We want to navigate life in a more effective manner. You know, and wisdom is how you do that. You know, you learn to take advantage of good things. You learn to leave stupid things alone. Well, we'll get into that more in a little bit. But you learn to tell the difference. You know, you're not led on by everything that comes your way. You know, you're more discerning about things. And that's what wisdom provides you, that opportunity, that ability to do. Amen? Now, going on, he says, I have led you in right paths. And the word led there, you know, is the word derach, and it means to tread, by implication, to walk. Brown Drivers Briggs defined it as to tread, bend, lead, or march. To lead or march. And when he says, I have led you in the right paths, you're following wisdom. Wisdom is walking before you, and wisdom only walks in the right paths. So if you're not walking in the right path, you're not going to be following wisdom. Amen. See, the way wisdom leads is he doesn't just point it out and tell you which way to go. He'll teach you by pointing. You know, and that's what he says here. I've taught you. You know, I've taught you in the way of wisdom. But once you're in the way of wisdom, wisdom is guiding you now. You know, you can get to the point where wisdom starts leading and guiding you. And you just have to follow wisdom. You got to develop that sense of wisdom. What's wisdom and what isn't wisdom? And as you get more familiar with wisdom and what it is, when you begin to understand more deeply what wisdom is about and how wisdom functions, it gets easier and easier to follow wisdom. And wisdom leads you, man. When all of a sudden you're in a situation and you go, okay, Lord, wisdom, I need wisdom right now. Wisdom is already there. God says, if any man asks for wisdom, you know, God will give it to him. He won't put him down or mock him or make fun of him. He gives it liberally, but you got to ask in faith. Amen. But the thing is how does wisdom function? Wisdom's going to lead you. So you got to be ready to follow. If you're asking for wisdom, you got to be ready to follow wisdom. You can't still be considering fleshly ideas. You got to follow wisdom. You got to be ready to follow wisdom, and you got to be ready to recognize wisdom, you know, when it's there in front of you. There have been times I've had people, you know, come and counsel with me, and you know, this happened a lot in the past, in a long time ago. You know, even then, when people would come and counsel with me on a regular basis, and I would tell them, this is what you need to do, this is what wisdom is, and they wouldn't do it. They'd go out and just go back to the behavior that they were being for, and they never got out of that problem. They continued to just, as Evo taught one time, they'd go around that same mountain over and over and over again. They'd come back, you know, a year later, you know, I got to counsel with you, and it's the same problem. And it's like, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't listen. If you are not willing to be led by wisdom, you're not going to get anywhere. And then, you know, that's the case. You know, we're not going to get anywhere until we're willing to be led by wisdom. And then until we're able to perceive wisdom's leading, you know, and that means that you got to go after wisdom long enough to really begin to recognize what wisdom is. Amen. Praise God. Now, so he says, I led you in right paths. And of course, this is it. To know wisdom, you got to know how wisdom's going to lead you. He's going to lead you. Wisdom's going to lead you in right paths. And the word right there is the word yosher. And it means the right. In other words, straightness and upright. So if it's not straight, if it's not upright, if there's some crookedness to it, or there's some, you know, unethicalness or not legalness to it, that's not wisdom. Wisdom doesn't lead in that path. That's not the path of wisdom. And you need to get that. Amen. The word for paths there is the word magal, which means a track. And it literally is a track. In other words, wisdom goes around the same track. It just takes you on that track. And if you stay on that track, wisdom will be with you all the time. You know, but it the other meanings of that word track is that it's also a rampart as circular. Now, a rampart was a defensive wall of a castle or walled city. That's what a rampart was. And it was usually at the top of the stone parapet, the thing that if there was a wall that surrounded the castle or surrounded that small community, you know, usually people would live outside the castle. But if they were to be attacked, they'd all run into the walls, inside the walls, and then they could be protected. You know, they would be protected. But that's, you know, and then the top of those walls was usually wide enough for at least one or two people to walk side by side all the way around that wall. And they could fight defensively and offensively from the top of those walls. And that's what wisdom does. It leads you on a path that gives you the ability of overview. It gives you that capability of seeing more things than you would see if you were just on ground level. Many times we can't see what's really going on because we're so busy dealing with what's facing us at the moment. And that's one of the things wisdom's going to do. Wisdom is going to elevate you and raise you up, you know, in your perceptions of things so that you can see beyond just what's in front of you. Amen. It'll give you a better way, is about the only way I could say it. It'll give you a better way of attacking the problems, you know, how to deal with the problems. Amen. So that's how he leads. That's wisdom, how wisdom leads. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And the word hindered there is the word yatsar, which means to be narrow. In other words, tight together, like in a rut, to where you're almost tripping over your own feet. Amen. So figuratively, it means to be in distress or to suffer distress. You know, when your steps won't be, you know, hindered or trippy, you know, where you're tripping over your own feet. And it says, and when you run, and the word run there is the word roots, which means to run. And I like this, for whatever reason, especially to rush. There are some times in life when we can't just take our time. Sometimes we got to move quickly. And so when you have to move quickly on something, if you've been following wisdom, wisdom will see to it that you don't stumble, that you'll be able to move quickly and not stumble. And the word stumble there is the word kashal, which means to totter or waver. And that means through weakness of legs, especially the ankle. By implication, to falter, to stumble, to faint, or fall. So wisdom will keep you from fainting, will keep you from falling, will keep you from stumbling or faltering, you know, running in a halting manner to where you're not sure. There's that insecurity of whether or not you should run, you know, whether or not you're going to be able to do it. Amen. And this is so powerful. Amen. The wise father promises your steps will not be hindered, nor will you stumble if you listen. If you listen to wisdom, if you let wisdom lead you. Amen. So the next one, it goes down in verse 13 through 15. The good father, you know, the good father, the wise father, exhorts his children to take firm hold of wisdom. Since she, now this is where we see him referring to wisdom as a she, since she is your life. Amen. And then challenges and not enter the path of the wicked. I like this. Proverbs 4:13 through 15 says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. My eyes jumped and I read two things. Do not let go. Keep her. All right. So let's stop there for a minute. Take firm hold. That take firm hold is one word. It's the word kasak, and it means to fasten upon. Hence, to seize, to be strong, obstinate. Obstinate means to be stubborn, to bind yourself to, in that sense, to restrain and conquer, to conquer yourself, take firm hold of, get a hold of instruction, conquer it. In other words, make it something that you have no problems going through, that it's just part and parcel of you walking in wisdom, is to make the changes necessary. And of course, the word for instruction there, which it's, you know, most cases throughout the book of Proverbs, it's the word musar again. It means chastisement. Amen. Take hold, firm hold of chastisement, you know, fasten upon it, you know, be obstinate, be strong in it, you know, to restrain yourself with it, you know, take hold of it, let it conquer you. Amen. that chastisement. And I looked up the word chastisement, and this is from the Webster's Dictionary. And chastisement means first correction, and then it means punishment. And if you really understand chastisement is really the punishment part of it is a consequence. It's the consequence of not yielding to correction. That's punishment. I mean, you know, you tell your kids, you know, don't do this. We told you not to do this. We said, no, you can't do this. You know, and you know, the reasons could be many and varied. It could be that they're too young and they don't understand the consequences of what, you know, what would happen if they did it, or what could happen if they did it. And you're just thinking of their safety and security. So you're correcting them. You're saying, no, that's a correction. They want to go do something that's not safe, or they want to go do something that could put them in a bad place, or something that, you know, that, I mean, you know, when your kids are little, I mean, when I was little, I wanted to drive a car. You know, so, you know, and some parents will actually sit their kids in, they did when I was a kid, they would put their kids in their lap, and they'd be driving the car, and they'd let the little kid just start steering the car, you know, and they would be there to grab the wheel and steer it and stuff. But what if somebody slammed into you, you know, they just came over the line and slammed into your car, you know, I mean, you'd crush your kid against the steering wheel. And so those kinds of things were very dumb. And we, you know, some of us got it before they ever made it a law, but some people didn't. They thought it was really cool, you know, but the kid's not ready for that. They're not ready for the consequences of driving. All right. And so they shouldn't be in that place. So it starts off with, no, you can't drive. You're not in a place to physically handle a car. When you get there, then you will be. When you have enough maturity to understand that what you're driving is a $2,000, you know, lethal weapon, as well as it is an awesome, cool thing in a form of transportation, it's also a lethal weapon. You know, it's destructive. It has destructive powers. And so, you know, until they have the enough maturity, and I'm not even sure some adults nowadays have enough maturity to be driving, man. I've been watching people on the road, and some of them are out of control. And, you know, they're not, that's a lack of maturity, right? That's a lack of understanding the consequences of what you're doing when you're driving that vehicle. Now, hopefully I pray for them sometimes that God get them someplace safe so they don't hurt nobody. But, you know, it starts there. It starts with correction. And so, you know, instruction starts with correction. So anytime you see something in the Word that's correcting a behavior that you have, I'm trying to smile, but I don't know if I can do it on purpose. It doesn't work for me. All right. When you read anything in the Scripture that tells you, you know, this that's correct, not tells you, but it's correcting a behavior that you have. That's correction. Now, if you recognize that that's a correction that's meant for you, listen to me. If you recognize that's a correction that's meant for you, since you're in a behavior that is correcting, if you listen to that correction and start changing it, because, I mean, it's a process, changing things that may be a bad habit. If you have a behavior that needs to be correcting and you've been doing it all along, you know, it's going to require retraining habits. You know, I mean, if you have a, you know, I won't get anything specific. I think you guys understand that well enough. But if you read something that's correcting a behavior that you have and you listen to it, you've taken the first steps towards making good decisions and having good judgment. You're taking the initial steps towards making good decisions and having good judgment. You're recognizing you need to change. And that's the key to wisdom, because wisdom comes to those who are willing to change and who make the change. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. If you are not, then you will be devoured by the sword. That's the second part of that verse, and I think it's Isaiah 1:9 or something like that, where it talks about willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. And people go, I'm willing and I'm obedient, but they don't understand obedience means obeying the required changes as they're revealed to you. if you obey and make the changes that you're being called to make, when you read something that is contradicting the behavior that you are showing, if it's correcting a behavior that you have, then that call is being put on you to make that change. Nobody's there. Your pastor's not there telling you that's for you. God's not even going to be specifically there pounding on you that that's for you. The Holy Spirit's there, and He may, you know, give you a little push to recognize you have that behavior. Because all of a sudden, if you see, oh, this is a behavior I have, that's the Holy Spirit letting you know that that change, that correction is for you. Amen. And if you make the change, you've shown good judgment and wisdom has started you on the right path. Amen. Now that's just the start. Because it's one thing to recognize that you need to change that behavior. It's another to change it to where it's no longer in your life. And that may require a series of decisions as you go along, making good decisions. You know what? That's a behavior I got to change. Amen. I mean, there's been some behaviors in my life that, you know, I knew they were wrong, but I was still behaving that way. And eventually, there came a point where I had to recognize, I mean, it didn't even come from God. It didn't even come from the Holy Spirit. It just came as a recognition in my life that I had to change that behavior. I had to change it. I had to make some changes. And it wasn't easy. You know, and there are times when I still want to go back to that behavior, but you learn to say no. And see, the more you walk in the change of that behavior, you start correcting that behavior and you continue to correct it every time it comes up. And you make those corrections and you do what it takes to reprimand yourself if you're finding yourself, you know, waffling on it and wanting to not make the change and maintain the change, and you keep going making the change, you're continuing on that path to good judgment and making good decisions. And as you do that, wisdom becomes stronger and stronger for you. That habit, that bad behavior becomes less and less powerful in your life until, you know, there might be a distant kind of, oh yeah, remember that? And you just go, yeah, so what? And you just move on about your day. I mean, that's just the way it is. Amen. One of those things could be worry. I'll just give you a couple of them. One of those things could be worry. Another one could be strife, you know. You know, shooting your mouth off saying things you ought not to say. You know, other things could be, you know, getting out there and talking like the world. Behaving like the world. Could be watching things that you ought not be watching that convict you in your heart. You know, you shouldn't be watching that. Amen. And so as you sense those things and as the word begins to pull them out to you and point them out to you, you're now starting the path of wisdom if you listen to it. Amen. Keep her. In other words, to guard in a good sense, you know, protect what that correction that she's bringing you. Don't let it go. Don't abandon it. That word let go is the word rafa, and it means Brown Drivers Briggs defines it as to let drop, abandon, relax, refrain, forsake. One of the things that's gotten me in trouble in my life is relaxing my resolve. Relaxing my resolve. I'll tell you, when the holidays came around, I was doing really good on my eating and on losing weight and stuff like that. And the holidays came around, I thought, okay, I'm going to enjoy the holidays a little bit. And I found myself relaxing. And when I relaxed in my eating, I started finding myself, once the holidays passed, I was struggling to get back in control and back in that resolve that I needed. And I wanted that resolve because I'm not done losing weight. I've still got some weight to go, man. I've lost a lot. I haven't gained much. I mean, very little. But still, I've been bouncing up and down, and getting back into that place is really been, you know, it's not been easy. You know, I'm not going to say it was hard, because really it boils down to, where's your resolve? Are you going to do this or not? And so I'm getting back to that place where my resolve is there. I'm saying no to things that I don't want to say no to. And I'm getting better at it. Amen. It's really, it's fun. It's because once you understand how you got there in the first place, it's not easy sometimes to get back there, but you know the way back. And all you got to do is keep pushing until everything, you know, until you've brought your flesh back under control and you got your foot on the neck of it. And you're like, no, I'm not letting you up. This is the way it's going to be, you know? And so you just keep going. And as you do that, you know, that resolve will begin to carry you. Now, if you don't listen to this instruction and you come back here to Webster's definition in number two for instruction, that correction will become punishment. Let me read the rest of this definition. So it's correction, punishment, and then it goes on to say pain inflicted for punishment and correction, either by stripes or otherwise. Figuratively, it means reproof, and this is back to, in the brackets is Webster's definition, but in figuratively, reproof, that's part of Strong's definition. So Strong says properly chastisement, figuratively reproof. Reproof is showing to be in the wrong. And so that means that when the scriptures, show to correct those behaviors that they're wrong and they're, it's a behavior you have, then you're the word is reproving you. It's convicting you. It's showing you that you're in the wrong. And then it's warning or instruction. Also, instruction could just be teaching you how, you ought to be. And it also carries the meaning of restraint. That word musar carries that meaning of restraint. All instruction, all musar, the success of musar is going to be built on restraint. It's going to be built on that. You can't achieve the change in your behavior just by adopting another behavior. You're going to have to exert some restraint, and then you replace that restraint with right behavior. And some of you, you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and you know that you shouldn't be doing it, and you try to restrain yourselves, but you're getting nowhere is because you're not replacing it with the right, correct behavior. Amen? You're not replacing it with the correct behavior. All right. And so that's where you have to meditate on this, where you have to, as you get a hold of these things, you got to spend some time. When you see that it's correcting a behavior that you have, the word is correcting a behavior that you have, you got to go to God and you got to go to the word and say, well, what's the right behavior here? If this is the wrong behavior, what's the right behavior? And many times, especially in Proverbs, it's constantly juxtaposing, which is comparing and contrasting wrong behavior with right behavior. You know, the wicked and the righteous. Amen. The fool and the wise. So there's that comparison and contrast. And as you begin to understand what a fool is, you can also begin to understand what a wise person is. And then when it says, when it rebukes the behavior of a fool and you find yourself doing those things, then you got to look at what's the behavior of a wise man. And then you start doing those things. It gives you, the word will give you that play. It will give you what you need in order for you to make that correction and move into the right behavior. Amen? And so that's chastisement. But coming back to correction and punishment one more time, you need to understand that if you don't yield to the correction, you're going to fall into the punishment. And the punishment is not something that God does. God doesn't punish us. He lets you have your way. When you say no to wisdom, wisdom backs off. And we learned that in the first chapter. That when all hell breaks loose and your stuff is falling apart, wisdom's not going to be there to help you. Why? Because you have nothing for wisdom to work with. You've been making all the wrong decisions. You've been basing your life on foolishness rather than on wisdom. You've been falling for all the wrong things. You've been giving yourself to the wrong things. And your behavior is betraying you and showing that that's who you really are. And guess what? Wisdom can't help you. Now, I know that in the first chapter, it goes on to say that wisdom will actually laugh at you and mock you, when you fall. Now, God doesn't do that. God is not happy with anybody going to hell. He's not happy with his children suffering because of their wrong decisions and their bad judgments. He's not happy about that. It hurts him. It frustrates him to a degree. He wants us to be free from those kinds of things. He doesn't want us to walk in the negative side of this. But we need to understand, if we're unwilling to make the corrections, then we need to be willing to suffer the consequences. If we're unwilling to change, if we're unwilling to grow, then we need to ultimately, you know, say, hey, I'm going to pay the consequence for this. I'm serious. I mean, there came a point with my eating, you know, that I was up there, people. And, you know, in my weight. And, I like to snack. I like to eat. I liked all that. I'm having to die to the flesh of it. And I'm getting there. And it's really cool. I'm getting back to where I was at. I'm getting there, man. It's like, I'm almost there. But it's hilarious because there came a point in my life where I started really suffering physically. And, you know, God told me, he said, you know, I'm going to tell you something. He goes, if you don't make the changes that you know you should be making, I'm not even going to sit here and harp on it with you. But if you don't make the changes that you know you should be making, I'm just going to require you to carry that dead body around with you. You know, that dying body, I'm just going to require you to pull that thing around with you and until you're done with your job. I didn't like that. And so, you know, there came a point when, you know, I got exhorted. I got corrected. And I made the decision. That's it. I set my resolve. And once I set my resolve, then there was no going back. And I'm not going back. You know, I'm not going to relax like I did. I won't do that again. You know, that whole thing of relaxing, you know, letting go and relaxing and just kind of, you know, forsaking it for a little while. No, that's not happening anymore. Amen. I mean, I'm done with that stuff. But, you know, you learn, hey, and honestly, I only gained back about probably 10 pounds. And now I'm down below that again. I'm already back on my way down. And so you got to understand, this ain't funny. You know, I mean, God told me that. And so, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm a servant. And if he's going to tell me that, then I got to tell you the same thing. There are consequences for not yielding to correction. And if you're not willing to yield to correction, then you might as well be okay with whatever the consequences come. You know, it's not going to come from God, and there's going to be some pain. And, you know, you're going to experience, you know, some suffering, but it won't be from God. It'll be from the consequences of not being willing to yield to correction. Amen. So moving on, keep her. And that word keep her, there's that word Natsar means to guard in a good sense, to protect, maintain, obey. Keep her. Who's her? Wisdom. Keep wisdom. And in this case also, it's instruction. You know, that instruction is a part of wisdom, people. You know, you can't have wisdom if you don't have correction. You know, so that instruction is in the form of, this is what you need to change if you want to get here. If you want to get over here, this is what you need to change. This is what you need to do to get over here. And that's going to require change. It's going to require development. Amen. So, you know, we got to be willing to take hold of and protect what we've learned, what we've gained in our correction. Don't let it go. Protect it. Why? Because she is your life. For she is your life. And of course, your life there is the word chi. And I love Brown Driver's Briggs' definition of the word life there. He defines it as life, sustenance, maintenance, revival, and renewal. You know, if you're not experiencing life, you're not gaining sustenance out of your life. If you're always in the negative, if your maintenance is off, there's nothing maintaining you. If you're in a state of deadness, you need revival. If you need some kind of renewal, know that there is correction needed on your behalf, on your part, in order to achieve that life, to achieve those things. Amen. For she is your life. Verse 14 kind of switches gears a little bit. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. And the word wicked there is the word rasha, which means morally wrong. Concretely, it means an actively bad person. Do not enter the path of the actively bad person. Amen. And do not walk. And the word walk there is the word ashar, which means to go forward and prosper. Brown Driver's Briggs defines it as walk advance, make progress. You know, how much are we... I'm sorry, forgive me for a second. I have to just... My chair is moving around too much. How much of what we do in life are we prospering because we're walking in the way of what's not right? I mean, you know, laziness. Laziness is a sin. Believe me, laziness is a sin. Okay? And you know, you go to work every day, you're getting paid. But if you're walking in the way of laziness at work, you know, then you're walking in the way of evil. You're walking in the way of the wicked. All right? Do not walk in that. Do not find your prosperity in the way of evil. All right? Do not try to make progress by doing it in an evil way or based on how a wicked, morally, actively bad person is doing it. Amen? I've seen some people and how they behave, and I mean, it's abominable. And you know, they get their way. They get their way, you know, doing that. And you know, there comes a point when you got to say, wait a second, this isn't right. You know, I mean, am I going to be like that in order to succeed here? No, I'm not. I don't care where it ends up. I'm not going to follow that path. Amen. I'm not going to walk in the way of what's evil. And that word way there is, of course, the word derek, and it means, you know, a road is trodden, a course of life, figuratively a course of life or a mode of action. I'm not going to let my mode of acting, my behavior, reflect what's not right. And that word evil is the word ra, and it means bad, or as a noun, evil, whether naturally or morally. You know, morally wrong. Amen. You got to think about that. How, you know, I there's some people, I know some people personally right now that are walking in the way of evil. They are very much in evil. And they think that they're doing right. They think they're doing right. And I can name names, man. They think they're doing right. And they're walking in the way of evil. Well, if you walk in the way of evil, then you are evil. And you need to understand that. People that choose that way and they think that's the right way, they are evil. All of us are going to do bad. We're going to do something that's evil, you know. But if we have a heart for God and a heart for what's right, it's going to bug us to know. I mean, it's going to drive us crazy. We're going to be convicted and we're going to have guilt and shame for what we did. But a person who thinks that it's totally okay and that they're right to do that, that person is already kind of sold out to that. And, you know, and examine your lives. If there's some things that you've given yourself over to that you know are wrong, you know, you need to go to God, repent, and say, you know what? I'm wrong and I need to change this. Amen? And then make the commitment to change it. Show the resolve to change and be different. Amen? Now, verse 15 goes on to say, avoid it. What? The way of evil. Avoid it. You know, ignore it. Let it alone. Refrain from it. Do not travel on it. You know, do not pass over it. Do not go by it or through it. Turn away from it. You know, to turn aside, get away from it, move from that way of evil and pass on. And pass on means, it's the same word actually as the word travel, abar, but it means, and in this sense, to travel, do not travel on it, the way of evil, in this case, is talking about going through it, you know, and walking on that road, whereas this one, to pass on, the implication is to go by it. In other words, walk, go away from it. You know, just pass on by it. You see it, you pass on by it. Amen? Amen. And so, wisdom, a major portion of wisdom is the instruction of wisdom. All right? I can't get away from that. Guys, we have to understand that. If we're going to have wisdom, the first part of that, the first step of wisdom is having our ears open to correction. Correction of our behavior, correction of our thoughts, correction of our words, correction all the way around. You know, some of you have a perspective, worldview of things that's not God. And you need to go and correct that worldview. Some of you talk like the devil. You need to correct that language. You need to correct how you talk and the things that you talk about and the things that you say. You know, the way we think. You know, if you're constantly thinking of carnal, fleshly things, if all you do is spend your days wallowing around daydreaming about, you know, being on a yacht somewhere, that's evil. That's the way of evil. I mean, that's, dude, we're to live life with purpose. That's not God's way. And some people actually have this idea. They think that God wants them to be so blessed that they can just live at ease the rest of their life without any problems, without anything touching them. That's not, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. In other words, we're to be directly interactive with the world in the sense of confronting it, in the sense of having an impact on it, trying to be a witness to people and to stand against it. We're not to hide away in some kind of luxurious thing. You know, that's not God. Jesus talks about that. He says, people who are dressed sumptuously, luxuriously, they dwell in king's houses. You know, they're not on the street doing their job. They're not doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to stop here for tonight. I was going to try and get more done, but glory to God, we got this much. That's good.